Well, there is that school bell for the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll want to get your Bible at this time and find the book of Judges. You'll find it in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and then Judges, the seventh book of the Old Testament. And we're going to be looking at a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of February the 24th, 1924, on the period of the Judges. And while we'll be centered on the victory that Gideon had over the Midianites, we're going to be studying many other things from the book of Judges. And if you have the book of Judges ready in your Bible, you'll be able to quickly turn to the other passages that we'll be consulting as we look at this study. This is class session 496 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And while you're getting your Bible and getting your chair ready and turning your radio up so you can listen, I'll be reminding you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now this class will come to order. We were talking about some of the geographical notes for the lesson we're going to have, and particularly about the Valley of Jezreel. There is a spring in that valley that turns into a stream that flows about 15 feet wide and 2 feet deep down the side of the Valley of Jezreel. Gideon's army was on the south side of the spring, while the Midianites were encamped in the north, as the text says, in the valley. Now let's look first, generally, at the book of Judges. The time of the Judges included that of Eli and Samuel, covered a period of more than 350 years. It is not known who wrote the book, though some suppose that Samuel wrote it. The events cover a period of nearly 300 years. It is a most remarkable history of the long suffering of God toward the Israelites, in which we find the most signal instances of His justice and His mercy displayed. The people sinned and were punished. They repented and found mercy. Some of this kind we meet on every page, and these things are written for our warning. None should presume, for our God is just. None need despair, for God is merciful. Thus were the comments of the great commentator, Adam Clark. God commanded Israel to drive out all the nations in the land of Canaan, and to make no covenant with them, and to have no mercy on them, and to make no marriages with them whatever, and not to serve their gods, but to break down their altars and burn their graven images. We read in Exodus 23:31-33, "And I will set the border from the Red Sea, even to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." We read again in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. "When Jehovah thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and shall cast out many nations before thee, the Hittite, and the Girgashite, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, seven nations, greater and mightier than thou. And when Jehovah thy God shall deliver them up before thee, and thou shalt smite them, then thou shalt utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For he will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of Jehovah be kindled against you, and he will destroy thee quickly. But thus shall ye deal with them. You shall break down their altars, and dash in pieces their pillars, and hew down their Asherim, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto Jehovah thy God. Jehovah thy God hath chosen thee to be a people for his own possession, above all peoples that are upon the face of the earth. And then Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 16. Thou shalt consume all the peoples that Jehovah thy God shall deliver unto thee. Thine eye shall not pity them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. Now, if they should fail to do these things, and should any way cleave unto the nations and make marriages with them and so forth, then these nations would prove a snare and a trap to them, pricks in their eyes and thorns in their sides, and then God would do to them what he said he would do to these nations. We read in Numbers 33:55-56, But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, then shall those that vex ye let remain of them be as pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. And it shall come to pass that, as I thought to do unto them, so will I do unto you. In Joshua chapter 23, verses 12-13, we read, Else if you do at all go back and cleave to the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and make marriage with them, and go into them, and they to you, know for a certainty that Jehovah your God will no more drive the nations out of your sight, but they shall be a snare and a trap unto you, and a scourge in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee. This book of Judges shows us how this became true. God used these nations to punish the Israelites. Part 2 of this Sunday school lesson makes an application that the church must be separate from the world. God would have the church now separated from the world. We read in James 1:27, Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We read, Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness and iniquity? Or what communion have light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be to you a father, and ye shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 6:14, and reading down through 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. It is dangerous now for Christians to marry any but Christians. And Christians are forbidden to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It is such a danger when someone marries someone that is not a Christian. Invariably, there are many of the stories of those who were brought up in the church and attended the Sunday schools and whose parents made sure that they themselves were faithful and their children's faithful in attending the worship and services of the church. And yet they grow up and find someone that was not raised up this way, and they marry outside of this practice. And so many times, that spouse of theirs whom they love pull them away from the love of God, so that they are seen in the assembly no more. They are forbidden to love the world and the things of the world. In 1 John chapter 2, 15 and 16, we read this: "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Being not of the world, as Jesus was not of the world, we have been chosen out of the world." In John 15, 18 and 19, we read, "If the world hateth you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, I choose you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you." And in John 17, 14, we read, "I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." All lust, passions, and sins must be overcome. If not, they will remain in the heart like so many Canaanites to destroy the soul finally. Now the third portion of this old Sunday school lesson is called The Place of Weeping. I read to you from the book of Judges, verses 1 and 2. "And it came to pass, after the death of Joshua, that the children of Israel asked of Jehovah, saying, Who shall go up for us and fight against the Canaanites, to fight against them? And Jehovah said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." And so, Israel would be led by Judah. While Joshua succeeded to a very great extent, the chapter shows that the Canaanites were not completely driven out of the country. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 15, states the result of this failure. Here we read, "And the angel of the Lord," or the angel of Jehovah, "came up from Gilgal to Bochim. And he said, I made you go up out of Egypt, and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall break down their altars. But ye have not hearkened unto my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore also I said, well, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of Jehovah spake these words unto the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto Jehovah." Bochim, a name that means weeping. This angel of Jehovah is doubtless the angel of God's presence, because he speaks as Jehovah. He said he'd brought Israel out of Egypt to that country, as he had sworn to their fathers, and said he would never break his covenant. But they'd broken the covenant themselves, in not breaking down the altars of the nations and the land, and in not refusing to make covenants with them, and in not driving them out. Therefore God said indeed he would not drive out these nations, but allow them indeed to become thorns in their sides and a snare. And then the people wept. We have our places of weeping: sin and sorrow cause us to weep. We'll continue this in our next class.